The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If someone was talking to you and they mentioned implicit faith, what would they be talking about? Can implicit faith be a true faith? Why is it that people who have never heard about God or His gift of eternal salvation are still culpable? These are sometimes difficult things to talk about, but Bob Wilkins, Steve Elkins, and you and I are going to talk about it today. That's just ahead right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. This is the website of the Grace Evangelical Society, and it is just full of all kinds of resources, articles, hundreds of articles about free grace thinking and theology. In addition to articles, there are also videos, blogs, books, ebooks, many different formats. We also have a magazine called Grace in Focus with a free subscription. And we do conferences. You can find information about all of these things at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now for today's discussion, Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins.
Well, Steve, we have a great question here. And the question is, what is implicit faith? Steve wants to know, what is implicit faith? Can you tell us about that?
That's a great question. It kind of dovetails on what we talked about last time as far as, you know, the Muslims having dreams about Jesus and things like that. There's an idea that, for instance, a, quote, noble Muslim who's never heard of Jesus' name could end up going to heaven only to find out when he got there that it was through Christ that he got there. Theologians sometimes will call this implicit faith, meaning there wasn't any reason for him to come to faith now, but God knows he would have come to faith, or he would have had faith if a missionary had brought it to him, and so he would end up being saved because he's a, quote, noble Muslim. He's a pretty good person. Yeah. And one evening years ago, and I've actually told this story here before, but Zane Hodges would come to our house every year. This was around 1990. One evening during the question time, somebody brought up that C.S. Lewis believed a noble Muslim would go to heaven who's never heard of Jesus' name, certainly never believed in him. And most of us were arguing back and forth. C.S. Lewis didn't say that. Surely he didn't. So one of the guys there, Truett Phillips, an older gentleman who was kind of a mentor to me, he says, Steve, do you have a copy of Mere Christianity? And I went back to my office and got it. He immediately opened a page, whatever it was, and read a few sentences. And sure enough, C.S. Lewis said exactly that. And this doctrine of implicit faith, so-called doctrine, is big in circles that are inclusivistic. In Christianity, there's two main branches, inclusivism versus exclusivism. Inclusivism says a high percentage of people in the world, even those who never heard about Christ, are going to end up being saved. Sometimes it ends up even being universalism. Everybody's right. Going to be saved. Exclusivism is a view within Christianity that says, no, only those who believe in Jesus or the gospel as they see it are going to be saved.
Right. This implicit faith, I believe, is a Catholic doctrine now. I believe the Catholic Church has said that the people in other religions, they can be saved as long as they're faithful because they have implicit faith in Christ.
And Reformed writers often will use the phrase implicit faith also.
I recently read someone, you know how people on Facebook will kind of throw out their thoughts, right? This person was saying that he said something like, I think it would be unfair of God to condemn a person who never heard about Jesus and then died to hell. In his view, everybody who's never heard about Jesus is going to be born again.
Right.
Well, I looked that up later to see more details, and there was a study done that suggests from 30 AD to date, two-thirds of all people never heard about Jesus. Well, if that view is true, that means that over 66.6% of people have been born again since the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Because some people actually came to faith in Jesus, right?
Right.
But they don't necessarily call this implicit faith. They just say God's going to give them eternal life. And I've heard even more than that. Some people say, well, no, you could hear about Jesus, but not hear a clear message about Jesus. And so you'd get everlasting life, too. And so basically the only people who wouldn't get everlasting life are people who had a very clear presentation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could argue, Well, that's one person in 10, even in the United States.
Yeah.
How many people have heard the clear message?
Right.
Probably many, but not certainly all, and probably not even most.
Right. You know, last time we ended the program with Romans 10:17, how shall they call upon him of whom they not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And the emphasis of that, we've got to get the gospel, the true message, as you put it, out there. But even if someone so great, and I love him, I want to repeat that again, C.S. Lewis in so many ways and an excellent writer and thinker, but even when someone so great as he would say, you know, a noble Muslim can go to heaven without ever having heard Jesus' name, we need to examine that through the lens of Scripture. You know, right after John 3:16, the most beloved Scripture in the world, and certainly C.S. Lewis knew that verse, is John 3:17-18, where he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Then it says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." It's not that he's going to be saved. He's already condemned.
Right.
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why we need to send the preachers out there with the true message so they can hear.
The reason why those who've never heard about Jesus are culpable, are responsible, is because God drew them their entire lives to him. Now, that's not, Calvinists don't believe that, but the Scripture teaches that. For example, Romans 1, that which is known about God is revealed in the creation.
Sure.
And it's not everything that can be known about God, but God himself can be known through the creation, like Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
And Romans 1 says that. Of course, Jesus says, ask, seek, knock in Matthew 7, 7
right,
to 11.
Right.
The author of Hebrews says, God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And think of the Macedonian vision, Acts 16, 9, where a man in Macedonia is crying out, cries for someone to come and bring them a message about Christ. I remember hearing Zane Hodges teaching on that, and he said, first of all, he thought that was an actual person, not just some figure of speech, but it was really a person, and Paul was tuning into, he was able to hear their prayer. But secondly, Zane said that in missions, we have untold scores of stories like that, where people say, God told me in a dream that he was going to send a white man to tell me words by which I would live with God forever. And here came this white man, and I knew it was the messenger.
Right.
And then they came to faith.
Yeah.
Well, there have been lots of stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, there's no such thing as a person who has their full mental capacity, lives beyond the age of accountability, and dies without ever having an opportunity to come to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
Even if they've never heard the name of Jesus, if they had responded to the light they had, God would send them a missionary.
Exactly. Two more words about this implicit faith. At the end of John 3, another verse, you wonder if C.S. Lewis didn't read this. I know he must have, but John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." That's pretty strong words. It doesn't say, but if they're noble, they'll end up in heaven or something.
Right.
No, it says the wrath of God is on them even right now. Now, back to that evening with Zane Hodges, and everybody was arguing for about 30 minutes, at least 15. Heated discussion was going on back and forth, because once it was established that C.S. Lewis did say this, that got us all hyperventilated about, well, is that the way it is? Is it possible? Finally, we came to our senses realizing we have this world-class scholar in our midst and said, somebody said, "Well, Zane, what do you think?" And this is what he said. It was so profound. You could hear a pin drop. He said, "Well, I would simply say there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." He didn't say one other word than that. But it was the perfect verse at the perfect time. It shut everybody up because the Scripture had spoken. It was so clear. It settled it for us. As much as I love C.S. Lewis and many other great writers, if they're off on the gospel or on things, we need to look at it through the Scripture lenses.
I agree. And I think it's quite possible that C.S. Lewis is with the Lord now.
Sure.
But I also think it's quite possible that C.S. Lewis is not. I've read, I think it was in the Trinity Review, suggesting there's not a line anywhere in the writings of C.S. Lewis where he says justification is by faith alone apart from works. Mm. Regeneration is by faith alone apart from works. That a person who simply believes in Jesus is eternally secure apart from works.
Right.
There's no line like it. Now, maybe that article was wrong. I haven't read everything that C.S. Lewis has written.
Yeah.
And besides, he could have come to faith in Christ as a small boy. Mm-hmm. And then when he went to Oxford or whatever, and became a famous professor, maybe he lost his faith and became, I guess he was an Anglican, I think was his view. But the fact that someone is this beloved Christian writer and gave us the Chronicles of Narnia and what was That Hideous Strength and Mere Christianity and all these books that are much beloved doesn't prove they're born again.
No, it doesn't. Now, we can look in the books and maybe get some evidences like Aslan's substitutionary death to break the curse that's in Narnia. Boy, that sure sounds like someone who probably knows the gospel, but did he understand that he had eternal security by just believing Jesus? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's Mother Teresa or whether it's C.S. Lewis or whether it's Billy Graham or whether it's Steve Elkins or Bob Wilkin. None of us is going to get there because we're nice people. It's all a matter of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he promises. Paul's asked, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There's no other way. So, Steve, in terms of implicit faith, could you kind of summarize?
Well, we shouldn't assume somebody believes the gospel if we don't have reason. You know, we can ask, do you know for sure if you have eternal life? How do you know for sure you have eternal life? And I'm not saying that a person has to be able to articulate it to have believed it, but that's the only way that we can know.
Yeah, that's very good. And there's no such thing as someone who believes in Jesus who didn't believe in Jesus. Right?
Very good.
That would be implicit nothing.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you. And
keep grace in focus.
Amen.
Zane Hodges' book, The Gospel Under Siege, A Study About Faith and Works in Tension, is being offered this month to Grace in Focus listeners and available right now at half price through June the 30th when you use the discount code word SIEGE, S-I-E-G-E. Find this special offer at faithalone.org. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, how can I possibly maintain fellowship with God if my sinning keeps breaking that fellowship? Ever been frustrated by your sin? Join us next time on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.